You can see by the title, you can see by the title that the message matches the song perfectly. If we were in a congregational setting, I would have probably asked the worshiper to sing that or play that or what have you, because it's absolutely perfect. There is so much more that God is requiring from us. There's so much. There's so much. We've been dealing and we've been learning so much about substance giving. Today's message is entitled, The Call is to Forsake All. The call is to forsake all.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We have been learning a lot about substance giving. And seriously, I've come to realize that substance giving is just it's the entryway to forsaking all. In fact, it is the true way to forsake all for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And yes, we've taken a lot of time, a lot of services to learn about this substance giving. And people might think that I'm just going crazy to try to increase us financially. But I promise you, once again, I say it again, that is not my motive. My motive is because I know the connection that it holds. And I know that it is everything to do with the fact that we can't forsake all the way that Christ would have us and the way that the Father would have us to forsake. I didn't choose to have a Thursday night service because I felt the level of importance for everyone to hear this message that taps in on Sunday. We have a different listening audience. It's a greater numbered audience on Sunday rather than Thursday. There's a lot of people's schedules have changed. And I don't have any guarantee that most people will go back and listen to the podcast or listen to the message as it's been downloaded. So I really felt strongly to wait till today. Because God wants everybody to have the same opportunity to hear this message and make
Amen.
the change that needs to be made.
Amen.
There is
Amen.
more that God is requiring from us. I don't know about you, but there is absolutely a press in my spirit, a press that's in my soul, a desire within me to want to disconnect completely from this world and really, really dive in like never before into the kingdom of our God. I'm so serious when I say that to you. I'm before God like day and night asking him to make that connection for me and to make that disconnect for me. Because I'm seeing in the word and my eyes are wide open to this level of truth of what it takes to really be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of this level of the gospel either. This is salvation. This is where it's at. And I'm not ashamed to come to this level of thinking and this level of desire. I have no shame in it at all. I'm not ashamed of this. This is what God is requiring of us. This is what God wants. The Father was the first partaker in forsaking all. We've talked about this in messages prior, but we'll look at it briefly right now. It says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, is actually how it's pronounced. This is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli means my God, lama means why, and sabachthani means thou hast left me. It means thou hast left me. All right. And it means, and when you say sabachthani, if you're ever in prayer and that comes up in your spirit, that's a true cry of distress. It's almost like saying Abba. It's like saying Abba, but it's like Abba on steroids. It's a cry of absolute agony and distress. So for Jesus to say sabachthani, it was a real cry of distress because he felt the Father's departure. All right. The word forsaken means Jesus was abandoned. Or deserted. The Father abandoned him. He deserted him. All right. And understand that Jesus is and was the Father's substance. He was absolutely the Father's substance. He banked everything in Jesus. Everything was put in him, as we've discussed in times past. All of heaven, all of God, and his, all of his existence was in Jesus. If Jesus failed, God would have had to leave and no longer exist himself. In fact, I believe everything in existence that was created would have just fizzled away. It was all bankrolled in Jesus, and the Father forsook, he abandoned, he deserted his substance. So now he forsook it for us. Now the call is for us to forsake ours for him. How many of us can say we've abandoned all and deserted all for him? How many of us can really say that we have? Substance giving is the entry to truly abandoning ourselves, people. It's not just about things. In substance giving, in true substance giving, we abandon self. We leave self. Because the only connection we have to self, and I'm being honest with you, is substance. Whatever we hold dear, whatever we hold as value, and God's not involved, that's substance. We too should feel a sense of departure in our flesh. We should feel an abandonment in our flesh. We should feel that there's something missing. There's something wrong. Yet that is an absolute feeling. Just like Jesus felt abandoned. And when you leave substance, there's a feeling of suffering, and because you're letting go of the things that you so desire. Not just your money, but you're letting go of the things that really stand in the way between you and God from becoming truly joined in peace, truly in the covenant of propitiation. And so when you feel this, in fact, 1 Peter 4:1-2 says it like this: for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Just like the song was singing, it was singing to us, there's more that God is requiring from us. Substance giving is that doorway. It's where you really make a separation. And I'm going to show you in the word that it's absolutely the truth. You make a separation from yourself. You stop living unto yourself, and you come alive living unto God in a different manner. When you're free to be able to empty, I'm going to say this, and please don't take it in a vain way, but when you're free to empty your bank account, per se, and you're free and you don't have an attachment to it, you truly have ceased from sin. When your substance does not control or dictate you in any manner, but it's alive and unto God in every manner, in every way that God can be God over all of your substance. Whatever you hold dear, whatever you hold value, when you give it to God, you truly have ceased from sin. The entryway of sin is no more. You essentially close the door to it. Because we also learned that the love of money is the root of all evil. So whatever you hold dear and value without God is a doorway for any type of evil or sin. But when God is attached to it, but when God is being honored with it, it becomes a whole new ball game. Let's look at Jesus as our example here, all right? Watch this now. This is so powerful. Listen to these words here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I love verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, my God, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, listen, for consider him that endured, listen to his suffering, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen, verse 4 says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. It says to look unto Jesus in verse 2. Looking, the word looking means to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something. When you look unto Jesus, you're essentially, you're forsaking everything else. Just looking unto him, if you're trying to follow, and that's what we've been taught all these years as Christians, to follow after Jesus. Well, if you're truly following, you're turning your eyes away from other things and fixing them on him. It means a separation. The word looking itself denotes separation. It denotes departing. It means fleeing. Watch this. This is going to come back in the later in the message. It means fleeing of origin, of the place whence anything has come, befalls, or is taken. All right, remember that. It means of origin. Looking unto Jesus means you disconnect from your origin. And if you were on the line last week, you know what your origin place of evil is. It's lied in substance. It's in substance, because we learned about that. And you'll see it a little bit later in the message. We'll see this complete definition again, but it's coming from a different word. Just the word looking reveals the level of separation. Just hearing looking unto Jesus, it reveals the level of separation. In looking at Jesus, our example, the life he lived, the dedication he had and has unto the Father speaks of how we too are to forsake all. He gave himself. What greater substance can one give other than themselves? We aren't called to die a physical death necessarily. Jesus did that for us. But we are called to die of this to this world. And substance giving is the way to that death. Somebody say amen if you're hearing me.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. So you look unto Jesus, the level of example that he gave. We're going to go deeper into this here. But first, let's take a look at our cross to bear for a second. In Luke chapter 9, verses 20 through 25, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up his cross, not just once, daily. You don't just do it when you say, Lord, come into my heart, save me, I'm a sinner. You take up your cross daily and follow after him. Daily. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man, look what he goes to here. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world, he's talking substance here, and lose himself and be cast away? So he goes to the connection of what really the cross is that we have to bear. He goes right to the connection. Gaining the world, gaining substance, and losing himself. He said, what advantages is it? There's none. The word deny, we look at there, it means disown. Listen to what it means. To forget oneself. Lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. That's denying. That's denying. To disown, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself, and to lose your own interest that God isn't a part of. Think about that. That's true denial. Disowning yourself, forgetting yourself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. That just simply means you disconnect from anything that would hold you back from serving God in full capacity. That nothing takes precedence over that. Nothing, no one, nothing. You lose your own interest. They fade behind the scenes. You allow God to bring interest and evolve and bring evolution in you. You don't grab at things for yourself. You allow it to come by way of the kingdom. For God will make you rich and add no sorrow. There is a way to get there. It's just not doing it in your own interest without God. Now, the cross means this: exposure to death. Listen to this now. To cause a person or a thing to keep his or its place to be intact in kingdom. Did you hear that? Your cross is you being exposed to death. And I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about a death within your own mind, will, and emotions, your soulish realm. When you do that, your cross that you bear, now you now take on a position. Listen, you cause a person or thing to keep his or its place to be intact in kingdom. So when I stay exposed to death, I'm intact in kingdom. Amen, I'm in position for kingdom. So when I bear my cross and I stay exposed to death and I'm staying away from my own mind, will, and emotions, and I'm moving with God, when I've disconnected myself from my substance and God becomes owner again, I stay intact. I'm in place. It also means, cross means to escape in safety. See, everyone thinks a cross is bad, but carrying your cross is awesome because now you've escaped in a place of safety. You establish a thing. It means to set or place in a balance. Now you're balanced. But if you're not picking up your cross, if you're not exposed to death on a daily basis, you're not intact in, for kingdom to bless you, for kingdom to heal you, for kingdom to deliver you. You're not in position. You're not in safety. It also means to establish a thing, set or place in a balance. Cross also leads you to this. Same definition. It means to be, same word, excuse me, to be of a steadfast mind. And I'm bearing my cross. It also means one who does not hesitate. Look at that. Does not waver. I know why we hesitate now in substance. Why? Because we're not bearing the cross. We're not in position. We're not being exposed to the death of our mind, will, and emotion. And so that becomes a problem. So we hesitate. And also, we also waver. We're in, we're out. We're up and we're down.
Progress.
Jesus. Now here's the breakdown of cross. This is what the Lord gave me. Cross is one who is exposed to a total self-denial, which is equivalent to the exposure of death by having a steadfast mind that doesn't waver. Ultimately becoming thoroughly balanced in kingdom and has truly escaped to safety.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's what happens when you bear your cross. That's what happens when you bear your cross. And so now, just as Jesus had to bear the cross, which we're going to look at as an example even more, but as he bared that cross, and I thought about you, Elder Donna, because one of the definitions that we're going to look at daily here, I thought about you. It means far more exceeding, beyond measure.
Yes.
Another definition you liked, Elder Donna, I thought about you, is more than that is necessary. And when I thought about the definition for daily, it means that you're going far more exceeding. You're going beyond measure. You're staying in a position to where, my God, you meditated on, man, yeah, the Bible teaches this, and it may sound like it's overkill, but I agree with what the word says. Meditating on him day and night, far more exceeding, beyond measure. That's carrying my cross daily. That's carrying the real cross of Christ. Watch this now. It says here, when I think of the definition of daily, it makes me think of the crucifixion and death of Christ. Watch how it's described. He didn't need to go through all that. It was far more exceeding. It was way beyond measure. In Psalms 22, verses 14 through 17, it says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me.
Jesus.
This doesn't even include the 39 stripes Jesus. That he took. Neither the crown of thorns that was put on his head. No, nor does it include the piercing in his side. What am I getting at? His punishment was more than what was necessary. The 39 stripes ripped the skin off his back to the point where he would have bled out anyway and died. He got pierced in his side. That would have killed him. Maybe the piercing of his hands and his feet, he might have bled out and died from that. He really didn't need all that he went through. It was more than that was necessary. What am I getting at? If he could go that length and do more than that was necessary, how in the world can we not do our part and honor God with our substance and give unto the Lord the way that he requires? Why can't we give more than that's necessary? Why can't we move in the same? It says looking unto Jesus. That's what we compare this to. Why can't we let go of the things in which we desire so much and have such an attachment to that stop us from being his true disciples? He did more than that was necessary. Why can't we stay in the Rhema word like we should? Morning, noon, and night was the regiment giving from the beginning. Ultimately should have catapulted us to meditating on it day and night. I find myself, as I'm getting older in this, praying through the night inwardly, all night, every single night, probing in the spirit that God would take away the things in which don't please him, and God would strengthen me in the areas that I could be better toward him. I find myself moving in more than that's necessary. I told him just this morning, I'm on the threshold of crossing over into that place that you've really called me to. I can feel it happening. And I said, I will not look back and I will not go back. Your soul will take pleasure in me, I told him this morning. Oh God, why? Because I'm not going to look back. The 39 stripes would have killed him. The pierce in the side would have killed him. Just alone, the dehydration he suffered probably would have killed him. But his punishment was more than was necessary. That's how you forsake. You do more than that's necessary. That you had a great day with him on Monday, we'll have a better day with him on Tuesday. An increase on Wednesday. Letting go of everything that would hold you down. And God is merely talking to us on a typical easy route of how to forsake all. He's been ministering to us about triune giving, honoring God in areas that he deems holy. The tithe, the first fruit, and the substance or the lump that's left over also belonging to him. He's talking to us on a very simple level in which he will cause total forsaking to come out of triune giving. He will sanctify because you have disconnected yourself from the root of all evil. That God is back in control of your finances. Some of you are probably saying, this is really extreme. How in the world of me giving, how does it compare? Like I said, you're not called to die. Jesus was called to die. You're called to die from this world, and the connection to this world is money. So in our forsaking, we should start to look at being in this Rhema word more than that which is necessary. This is a part of our cross. This is how we stay in a place of acknowledging, and it gives us strength to stay disconnected from substance without honor. Jesus. The Apostle Paul joins in, and we can look at Apostle Paul here. Another really good example of true forsaking. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, times, listen, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved the one. Jesus got beat one time, 39 stripes. I was beat five times with 39 stripes, Paul says. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, out in the ocean for a night and a day, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. That's what you call forsaking.
Jesus.
None of us have come near any of that. And God is ministering to us about disconnecting ourselves from being owners of our substance. Listen to what the early church, what Paul went through, what Christ went through. Listen to that. And he said, beside all that, while I'm almost drowning in the sea, I still carry in me the care of all the churches. That somehow I got to get out of this situation I'm going through so I can continue to minister to the churches that have need of me. How in the world are you almost in the sea for a day and a night, but you're still carrying the cares of the church? I'll tell you how. Because Paul forsook all. He forsook all. Paul also saw the joy that was set before him. He knew, he said it. For me to die is gain, is what Paul said. He saw the joy that was set before him, that he would forever be with our Lord, forever. So it was easy for Paul to forsake. I think, church, I think, TGM, we are not seeing the big picture here, that it's not about what we establish in the earth realm. It's about being with God in eternity.
Hey, yes, God.
I think we're missing the point here, and we're staying attached to substance. That is not our reward. And that should not be the joy that's set before any of us. God is merely teaching us on how to sever something very smoothly. And I'm going to show you. I'm not done. I'm going to show you that I'm telling you the absolute truth. Holy Ghost, note, look at us. The Lord is so desirous to bring us into elevated peace. He's so desirous. He's trying to detach us from this world by detaching us from being owners of substance. He's trying to reposition our thinking to being stewards that worship with our substance. Paul not only counted all things but dung, because that's what he said. He counted his entire life as dung. Philippians 3:8 says it. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. I count what? All things. What? All things. What did he count loss? All things. But lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of what? All things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He said, I have no attachment here. I count everything but to be nothing but manure. Everything is manure to me. I have suffered the loss of all things. But I count all those things I lost, but manure, that I may win Christ. I don't care about things. I think we're missing the big picture. I think we've been so crossed over in trying to find our way in this life and to find our position that we're losing our position with God. Yeah, I'm on the deep end of this. I told the Lord, I said, I've come this far, I might as well come the rest of the way. And if you're here next week, God bless you. If not, I understand, because this is a hard saying. But truth be told, it is the truth of the gospel. It is the call on every man that Jesus and anyone that will come after me. Jesus, my Lord. Substance giving, the true forsaking. Watch this here, and I'm almost done, guys. I'm almost finished. Substance giving is the true forsaking, and I love how God, he came in and just, he ninja'd all of us. You giving your substance is a smooth way of killing you. It is so smooth and so powerful. What Paul went through, you may never have to go through. You'll never have to die the death of that Jesus did. But this is how God is going to kill us. He says here in Luke 14, 23, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, Jesus, he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Those are hard words right there, man. The word forsaketh, I've told you there's another definition coming. It means of origin, of the place whence anything is, comes, or befalls. This is the same Greek definition as looking. Looking unto Jesus reveals what we ought to do. Why? Because Jesus did this. He had no attachment to anything. So when you look unto Jesus, it automatically tells you that you have to forsake everything. You have to lose your life to gain your life. And that's just the absolute truth. Bottom line, I don't care what you say, what you feel, or how you think. It doesn't make a difference. This is the truth. If you're not able to forsake all that you have, you cannot be his disciple. And it made sense to me. The word disciple means discipline one. And it makes so much sense. I see now the attachment that money has and things have. Because I will not be disciplined. I can't be disciplined if I'm not disciplined with all that I have. I cannot go further in my discipleship. Why? Because what's constraining me is how I've disciplined myself with my substance. So how can I get disciplined the way of the Lord and the way that money is supposed to do me here in this world? I can't become a disciple. He's not being mean to us. He's letting you know it's impossible. You're being discipled already. Jesus. You can't serve two masters. You cannot. He's not saying, listen, step off. I ain't got nothing to do. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you can't. It will not happen. You're already under the tutelage of another. And his name is Satan, to be perfectly honest with you. How are you going to be a disciple of Satan and a disciple of God? It's impossible. For no man can serve two masters. Watch this. The word forsaketh, it means of origin, of the place whence anything is, comes, or befalls. Same exact Greek word as looking, all right? All right? Same exact Greek word as looking. So watch this here. Watch this. This gets really, really good. Becomes real easy to understand. God is causing us to leave our origin place. Ah, this is true forsaking. Remember, I told you substance giving is the way to forsake. We just found out that substance without honoring God is the origin place of all evil. Satan showed us that when he was kicked out of heaven. He was trying to take ownership of the substance that God had given him. He was trying to take ownership and build a kingdom from it and have and exalt a throne above God's. All right. So now his plan was, which we learned, was to take what he had, the beauty, the splendor, the substance, the power, all of that, a third of heaven following him. He was going to take all that and build. He was taking substance. So now we've been learning that triune giving is the place of complete ruin of this origin place. That giving our substance, honoring the Lord with our substance and the first fruit of all of our increase, we learned it. Elder Allison and Elder Donna did a wonderful job last week on Sunday when they interjected on this part right here. They proved that triune giving, and Elder Allison proved that triune giving was the way, because we looked at Cain as our example. And we see where Abel was giving triune. And so we saw where Abel was honoring God correctly in not a place of the law, but in a place of absolute just worship and admiration.
Amen.
And then we see where Cain didn't and what happened with Cain. So we saw this. And then Elder Donna taught us that at a Proverbs 3, that the new wine that we receive is more of Jesus, more of the character of God because of that honor. Our barns would be filled with plenty and our presses would burst out with new wine. And so therefore that new wine was more of Christ. That's the joy that's set before us. Come on, man, being empowered to lay hands on the sick, to save the lost, man. What greater wealth is there? What greater wealth is there that you can move as Christ the Lord? Money is not even in the picture. Triune giving is the place of the complete ruin of this origin place. Forsaking what? He said, I want you, here's how you forsake. Forsake the origin. Forsake what puts you in this position in the first place. Some of you have turned such a deaf ear to this, and it's amazing. But I know what message God is going to press play on when some of us don't make it. He's going to say, you didn't hear. I gave you the origin place of what you needed to disconnect from, and just honor me, and I will take care of the rest. Before I told you to honor, I told you to trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. That's all I want you to do. And then start from there. Triune giving is the complete place, the complete ruin of this origin place. When we honor God with our substance correctly, when we worship with all that he deems holy, it's an indication of our forsaking all. When the lump is again, is his again. We've truly forsaken all. We truly have. But when you're owner of your lump, when you're owner of the rest, no, let it go. Because in letting go now, you can be his disciple. You forsook your origin place. I remember when Abraham, this just hot off the press, when Abraham was called of God, he was called to leave his origin place.
Yes, he was.
He was called, when God first called the first man out, he said, leave your house, leave your parents' house, leave your daddy's house, and come with me. For Abraham to be the father of many nations, the father of faith, he had to experience, leave what you have. And what happened to Abraham when he did? He became richer in substance than he could ever imagine. But he had to leave his origin place. There is another silver lining for those of you that need to hear it. There is a silver lining. The reward that comes is this. And again, it says in Matthew 19, verses 24 through 29, it says, and again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, oh, I love this, hallelujah, You'll never let go of your stuff by yourself with men. This is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken, there's your word again, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And listen to our Lord's response. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And then he says this, and everyone that hath forsaken houses. The word houses actually means substance. It means basically it means all of like possessions. It means wealth. So he's saying anyone that forsaken possessions, wealth, or then it talks about or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. See, this is that dimension I was talking to you about last week, that I want to be wealthy, right? But I don't even want to know I'm wealthy because I'm so caught up in God. There is a way to finding, to becoming that and having that, but then you'll walk, you'll still be looking unto Jesus as your example. In other words, you'll be moving just like him. He owned all of heaven and earth. It all belonged to him. The earth is his in the fullness of the earth. You could see he could pull money out of fish. He could multiply bread and do all this. He had all this. He was wealthy, but you never knew it.
So true.
And so will you be with the same exact anointing, same exact perception, vision, the same exact where you're completely dedicated to the kingdom.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your wealth, it will be nothing to you, because I think the Bible calls it true riches. The true riches of his anointing are on your life. So money is nothing to you, because the anointing, my God, is creating all of that wealth. And so you will be, you will learn to look at the joy that's set before you, the anointing, the connection to God, your eternal life, your eternal estate, that will outweigh your earthly wealth. But the only way you get here is forsaking all. Is absolutely forsaking all. The regard for money, you won't have it, no matter how much you have. Don't get me wrong, you won't be a steward that's all over the place, but you won't regard it. It won't have a hold on you. And the only way that God can really bless you with it is if you forsake it. Think about it. He said it like this. If you lose your life, you will save it. Wait, what? Same thing with money. Same thing. Because he wants you in position to where you are completely and utterly his. That when at any given moment you can empty your bank account at no matter how much you got, you can empty it and sow it wherever he says. And then you will be recycled in 100-fold all over again. But the call, true gospel, and I mean this to true gospel, if you're a part of true gospel, the call is to forsake all, true gospel. That's the call. That's the message he's been trying to convey to us. It isn't about money. It's about forsaking all to be his disciples. You want discipline in other areas of your life? Start by forsaking all that you have. Then you'll get the discipline for every other area you need it in. Man, this is a plan of redemption right here, unfolding before your eyes. The precious blood of Jesus has paved the way for this. And now the choice is really up to you. Will you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to come into that? But the choice is yours. The choice is yours. But the call, without a shadow of a doubt, is to forsake everything you got. I'm going to let you know this, and this is real deal. Salvation is on the line. Everybody's gallivanting, doing their thing. Everybody's just running and doing whatever they want to do in life. But we're losing our true perception of what it means to be a real Christian. We're losing our ground on what it means to really be a disciple. I'm telling you now, you've got to start moving differently. I'm speaking to several of us on this line. You've got to start moving differently. You've got to return to the height from whence you've fallen. You're losing ground. And let me tell you something. Satan is extremely busy snatching people left and right up out of here.
That's the truth.
He's snatching people faster than you can imagine. And please don't take no thought of the tomorrow. Man, tomorrow's not promised. Sufficient in this day is the evil thereof. Worry about what's going on around you now. Learn your, me and Elisha were talking about it. Understand your surroundings. Understand your surroundings. Understand what is really going on with you. Where are you really with God? Seriously, please stop being fooled by life and by the cares of this life and the lust of other things, man. Please wake up. The best way, I'm telling you, man, to turn and forsake, start with possession, start with these things. When Jesus saved them in Acts, he said, okay, let me keep you here. Everybody sell what you have. And let's come out of debt for everyone and give no thought to what you think is yours. And they were in such motion with him that they were able to do that. Why? Because they inherited the kingdom. Supernatural realm opened up under them. Healing was yielding to heal. Money was so far away in the race that they were running. It wasn't about money. The love of our money, I'm trying to tell you right now, the love of money is keeping us connected to all kinds of bad habits. I don't care what you think. I'm telling you what the word teaches us. It is the love of money that is the root cause of all of every evil act that we have. Somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to understand it. Somebody's going to walk in. Forsaking all, God has made it extremely easy. He said, just honor me and I'll take care of the rest. I'll give you a heart of flesh. That was once a heart of stone. I'll turn it into a heart of flesh. I'll put you in position where you can receive. And I can discipline you in other areas. But I need you to detach yourself. So often we try to detach ourselves from the obvious sin that we're in. But it's not there all the time. It doesn't happen that way for us all the time. Why? Because the root cause is still there. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Let the Lord become more weighty. More weighty. I had a great time with him early this morning. Then I heard a seed in which I was to sow. And I love sowing the seed that comes from out of the mouth of my God. There's no better feeling than sowing what God says to sow. There's such a connection, there's such healing, there's such power that goes behind it. You want to know why? Because he sees himself, because he sowed his seed, literally sowed his seed. And so when he sees you moving like that, he knows that you have no attachment, that you have abandoned your origin place. I pray, Lord, even now that you sever some that are so connected, trusting in money, trusting in substance, trusting in one way or another. Don't even have to be wealthy, but we still trust in it. I pray that you sever that once and for all, and you help us to really begin to migrate into the place of discipleship. That you help us to begin to really, Lord God, maneuver in another way, that we're coming in as true disciples where we can be disciplined in every area of life. That we, Lord God, our eyes, please let them be open and let us see the joy, the true joy that is set before us. A life with you, a life without sickness, a life without disease, a life even now in this life, Lord God, a life where the anointing is covering us in every way possible. Help us to begin to open our eyes and open our hands and reach out for the true riches. We've got such an imbalance on what true riches are. Change that for us today. Change it for us today, Master, please. Change it for us, Jesus. Oh, yeah, change it. Let there be a repentance, Lord God. Let there be a mind to repent in areas for people that have not honored, that have not honored you. Let them see further than just the fact it's money. Let them see beyond that, Lord God. Let them see way beyond. Help them to see and to acknowledge the real joy that's set before. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. In one of the prayers, isn't I keep hearing this in my spirit, that the Father forsook and partook or something like that. It says in one of the prayers.
Partook.
Say that again.
This Father forsook and the Son partook.
The Father forsook and the Son partook.
Mm-hmm.
How does she... God is only, it was, man, it's already in one of the prayers, the Father forsook and the Son partook. My God. I kept hearing that in my spirit.
Mm.
Help us to have that mind.
Yes, God.
And please help us to look unto Jesus. Lord, you amaze me, the life that you lived. Your dedication, your love for the Father was amazing, Jesus. How you were able to give everything. How in the world do you have everything and act as though you don't? You're amazing, Lord Jesus. You're amazing. You're so amazing. You're so amazing to me. Let that mind be in us. Please. Let it be in us, Master. I'm not going to give up my place of discipleship for anything. It's all I want. And I know that's all that everyone on this line wants to be. As the dust clears, even now, in our atmospheres, we see clear, Lord. That's what we really want. We want you to make us rich and add no sorrow with it. We want the perfect balance in wealth to where the scale is in favor of walking in the anointing and in the kingdom. It far exceeds earthly riches. Tip the scales, Lord, in all of us, that we all see it like that and desire it like that. And we give you glory, Master. Now do me a favor, Lord. Lay your hand. Release your anointing even right now. Release the anointing. Let healing manifest. In any area of sickness, let healing manifest, because I believe we're a people that have heard your word and we agree with your word. So let healing manifest, Lord, just like you did it for them in Acts. There was an outbreak. There was a revival of deliverance and healing. Let there so be in us, physically touching us, mentally healing us, spiritually empowering us. Let it come forth, Master. Let it come forth. Let it become the substance. Let our faith become the substance of what we're hoping for. Reveal the substance, the true substance. Your anointing.
Yes.
Your love. Your deliverance. Let that substance come forward. Let us, Lord God, tangibly touch and hold on to and receive the true riches of your kingdom. Let it happen even today. Let there come a breakout. Let there be a breakout for all of us, Lord God, not just a breakthrough, but let there come a breakout, Lord God, in every area. That it's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think or imagine. Lay your hands on those that are in pain. Ashley in particular, Lord God. I pray that you lay your hands on her even now, Lord Jesus. And you take away the pain she's feeling and you bring forth healing in her body. I pray for all of those that are suffering in any manner. I pray in the name of Jesus, just reading on the list here, Lord God, I pray for myself. I pray for Elder Alice and Elder Donna. I pray for Prophetess Benita, Ashley, Javon, Benita, Carolyn, and Joshua, Evangelist Darrell, Jen, Larry, Prophetess Benita, Shatina, Kurt, Destiny. I pray, Lord God. And for those that I don't know by name, for Larry, Lord God, I pray for all, Jesus, that are listening right now, even to this broadcast, let the true riches be released. Let the true riches be released. Let them experience true wealth, the true riches, as we're deciding to forsake it all, Master. Thank you for 30. We praise you for 60. But Master, we glorify you for 100-fold today. We magnify you for 100-fold today. Healed, healing, yielding to heal. Physically, mentally.
Yes.
Spiritually. And lastly, financially.
Yes.
Can we give you glory, Master? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you, Master. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you. Thank you for doing the works. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Change the narrative. Change the narrative. It's not going to be like every other Sunday after service. Change the narrative. Elevate. Elevate it, Lord, into full manifestation. Change the narrative today. It's not just a good service. Change the narrative, Lord God. Shift flow. Let's go, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Amen. Amen. That's all I got for you today.
Bless God.